prayer requests, but and you might know, but you know, I would like an update on how Michael's doing, Jennifer, and maybe just for not for me, but for all of us. How's Michael doing after his back surgery? Good. Wonderful. All right. Bring this down here so I can see better. All right. And I'll put this here. Oh, I forgot my clicker, Duane, for the PowerPoint. All right. Right on the ball. Thank you, man. I know it's a little chilly this morning, so let's get our gray matter bubbling a little bit. Actually, you think better and you stay awake better when it's cooler. So, we sang some Christmas hymns this morning. Can I do a little Christmas quiz with you just for a little fun? This is probably not too spiritual. But anyway, let's have a little fun this morning. I've got a Christmas quiz right at the beginning. Not that one. We'll save that for another time, Duane. But it's in my PowerPoint. So we'll just start my PowerPoint. And they're pictures, crude pictures anyway. But each crude picture represents a Christmas hymn. Maybe you've done this before, but it's sort of fun. So can you guess these familiar Christmas carols? It's real easy. There's a picture, but it depicts a Christmas hymn. Let's see if you can tell that one. For instance, that is very simple. Yeah, Jingle Bells. Okay, you got the idea. All right, here's the next one. Walking in a Winter Wonderland. Right, you guys are thinking. Yeah, Santa Claus is coming to town. The pictures are crude, all right, but they were drawn by my grandson. But here we go. Joy to the World is pretty simple, all right. Yeah, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Okay. Oh, Come All Ye Faithful. Yeah, that's Yellow's, you know, Old Faithful there, and he's watching his watch. Okay, you got it. Yellowstone National Park. You got that one good. Yeah, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, all right? Even though the Xmas isn't right for us, but that's okay. We'll go to this next one now. This is a little tougher one. What was it? Oh, Christmas Tree, yeah. Oh, there's a bunch of O's. Oh, Christmas Tree. You got that one? All right. What child is this? Okay, name, question mark. What child is this? Yeah, we three kings. We little tiny kings of Orient are. Okay. Deck the halls, right, with balls of holly. Okay. Actually, it's not balls of holly, it's boughs of holly, isn't it? Something like that. Whatever that is, I have no idea. Okay? What is it? Yeah, somebody say it. I saw three ships a-sailing. We don't sing that one much. That's sort of in the way back in those Christmas hymns nobody sings anymore. But I saw three ships a-sailing. Okay. Yeah, oh. Oh, holy night. All right. Fairly obvious, isn't it? Okay. Yeah, Noel. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, okay. It's the alphabet, but there's Noel. I didn't come up with these, honestly. Somebody did, anyway. Yeah, away in a manger. Scales, a way. Away in a manger, okay? I'll give you a hint. How many 25s are there? The 12 days of Christmas, yeah. Okay. the 12 days of Christmas, and, you know, my true love gave to me, you know, all kinds of junk. Okay? Yeah, okay. I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus. This is her knee. It's something to do with wishing. The Chipmunks actually made this song popular, I think. No, it wasn't them. Okay, it's an awl and the wishbone. Look at the saw. What's it missing? All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. That's it. All right, you got it. I like that one. That's my favorite right there. Okay? Yeah, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. We sang this. I think we sang this one, the first one. Tamara led us in. Yeah, it came upon a midnight clear. Okay? You got it? It's three times. What's it doing? Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. All right. I don't know if that's the name of the song or not, but it's what we're familiar with anyway. We're running out of these. I think there might be, this might be the last one. Silent Night, yeah. We saw the Holy Night. He's still got his holy sword, it looks like. But this is Silent Night. All right. I think that's it. I don't think there's any more. That's right. So let's get on with the important stuff this morning anyway. And we brought some of the Christmas carols that we sang this morning to a little different light anyway. A Christmas message this morning. As I was talking to Christine and Tamara before the service, I guess you haven't had a Christmas message yet, even though you've had the Advent candle. That's good. So this morning, what I thought I'd do is just share with you the message called simply this, Why Christmas? And I'm going to read this the passage this morning. We'll do it. It's from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. It's not even a Christmas passage at all. It's in the book of Colossians. But it does talk about the centrality of Jesus Christ. All right, so I'll put it up here, Colossians 1, 15 through 20. It goes like this. Paul says this about Christ. It's all about him. It says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers, or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. That's important. God was pleased to have all his fullness, everything God is, to dwell in Jesus. And through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Wow, that's a powerful, powerful passage about Jesus Christ. And it comes into focus here on Christmas on the question I asked, why Christmas? And I guess, let's pray before we start and then ask the Lord to help us through this. God, give us ears to hear this morning and help us understand a little better this season that we're celebrating right now. Give me the right words in Jesus' name. Amen. So the question is, why was Jesus born? And what is Christmas all about? Try to imagine what you would say to a person who had come to America for the first time, who had never heard of Jesus, and didn't know what Christmas is all about. They come here during this time, let's say during December, and what message would they get about Christmas that they didn't have any idea what it was about, and they didn't know about Jesus, as they would see the shopping malls and the stores and the cards and the parties, and they hear about all the Black Friday deals about Christmas, and they see the hymns. Now, we know we talk about and sing about peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and brotherhood, and charity, and giving, and kindness, and we exchange presents, and we see the nativity scenes also out and about. And when all is said and done, would all those things help that person to capture the essence of Christmas? Would they know what Christmas was about? Would they understand it? Would they say, oh, now I know what Christmas is? Well, we'd all say, obviously, not quite Christmas, is it? Now, they're good. There's certainly some virtue in all those things. There's nothing wrong with those things. But all those things that I mentioned, save the shopping and Black Friday stuff, all those things are only the aura surrounding what Christmas is really about. So what Christmas, let me answer the second question first. What is Christmas all about? Christmas is really simply about the birth of the God-man. Emmanuel. God with us. The promised Messiah who came to this planet to save his people from their sins. It's the birth of the second person of the Trinity. Born completely a human being, of a human being, but without the process of conception of a human being. The baby born in the manger was God. And friends, Christmas is not about the Savior's infancy. It is about his deity. His humble birth was never intended to be a facade to conceal the identity that God was being born into this world for the first time. It's amazing when I think about Jesus, the babe, the Messiah, the God-man in a manger, and when he uttered those first cries. Do you know what Mary heard? For the first time in human history, she heard God through a human voice. That's amazing, isn't it? So, now, the other question, why then was he born? Well, Bethlehem only happened, understand this, Bethlehem only happened so that Calvary could happen. Okay, link the two. He was only a baby so that he could become a man and die. Jesus was born to die. I know that sounds like a downer, but that's what salvation is all about. Christmas is, first of all, understand, a celebration of God's love for you. That's what it is. The babe in a manger is more than just a tender child. And it blows my mind when I think about that, and that when Jesus came, God didn't have to plan this. He didn't have to do it this way. He could have just... There's a song that I'm going to play for you in our video at the end of my message. There's a particular lyric in this song that says he could have just left us all alone. He could have left us on our own. And God could have done that. I mean, in the human process, he could have looked down and said, man, the human race is a mess. I think I'll just, you know, move on from here. But the amazing thing is God didn't. He didn't leave us on our own. He went on with this divine plan, and said, I will come down and save them. And he did it through the second person of the Trinity, Jesus. And the babe in the manger is more than just a tender child. He's the image of God. That's what Colossians 1 that we just read is all about. Now, he took on a body of human flesh so that he might bear in that body the sins of the world. It was the only way he could do it. And that is the sum of the Christian and the Christmas message. I don't think we can ever comprehend, I know I can't, why he who was infinitely rich would become poor for our sake. I don't understand that at all. I mean, can anybody comprehend that? Can anyone comprehend how God could become a baby? I can't explain it, and yet he did. And he did it without giving up his divine nature or diminishing his deity in any sense. That's what Philippians chapter 1 is all about. Paul says in Philippians that he laid aside, he did not think that equality with God was something to be grasped, but he laid aside his attributes and still became God. In other words, Jesus said, if I become a human being to save these people, I will have to lay aside some of my godly attributes. But I don't have to think of those attributes that I have as God as something that I have to hold on to be God. I can still be God and lay them aside. For instance, an attribute of God is His omnipresence, isn't it? Omnipresence, omni, all, presence, here. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. That's why He can answer a prayer from, you know, from Africa or Europe or wherever. And He can see that prayer and hear it. He's omnipresent. Now, when Jesus became God, when Jesus, the God-man, became human, He was not omnipresent, was He? He could not be in two places at the same time. He laid aside that attribute. But He was still God, wasn't He? Just because He didn't have that particular attribute. Now He took on that attribute again after the resurrection. But so, and people often ask about the baby Jesus. They say, well, do you think He cried? Do you think He needed His diaper changed? Do you think He needed to be burped? Do you think He needed all the care and feeding that you would give a baby? And the answer is, of course. He was fully human. And with all the needs and emotions that are common to every human. And yet, He was fully God. All wise, all powerful. How can both of those be true? I don't know. I don't know. But the Bible clearly teaches that it's so. So the important issue of Christmas is not so much that Jesus came, but why He came. In His birth, you know, we sing about the birth of Jesus and how wonderful that is. Well, if you were to tell somebody who was asking about Christmas, well, it's about Jesus being born, but there wasn't any salvation in His birth. There's no salvation in that He was born. Nor did the sinless way that He lived His life. That doesn't have any redemptive force of its own. His example, as flawless as it was, can't bring salvation to any of us. Even His teaching, the greatest teaching ever known to mankind, couldn't save us from our sins. You see, there was a price that had to be paid. Had to be paid for our sins. And because of that, someone had to die. And only a human could die. Only a sinless human could do that. Jesus Christ could do it. And Jesus came for one reason. He came to die. Those soft little hands that Mary touched and picked up were fashioned by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb only so that one day nails could be driven through them. And those tender little baby feet that Joseph and Mary saw would one day walk up a dusty hill to a cross of Calvary. And that sweet little infant's head that they would hold, the sparkling eyes, the little brown eyes, were formed so that one day men might force a crown of thorns on it. And his tender little body there in the manger, warm and soft, wrapped in those swaddling clothes, would one day be ripped open by a spear and whipped mercilessly with whips. Jesus was born to die. Now, don't think I'm trying to put a damper here or a downer on your Christmas spirit, because I'm not. Far from it. Because Jesus' death represents the greatest victory over sin and over evil and over death and over hell that anyone has ever accomplished. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He sent the devil back to hell where he belonged. And for that, we can take another look at the manger this Christmas. Look beyond the tender scene and see what Jesus himself knew when he came here to this planet. That he was born to die. And friends, he died for you. Every one of us here this morning. He died for me, a sinner. He died for every one of us here, sinners who need redemption. He bore your sin. He purchased your salvation. He guaranteed your sanctification. He destroyed your enemy. He became your sympathetic high priest. Even right now, he's making intercession for us and seated next to the Father. And in all of that, what's the right response to Christmas? What would characterize what we should do to observe this holiday? And I believe there's only one word for it. Worship. Just worship. We should be moved to worship as the Magi did. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 2, in verse 11, they fell down and worshipped the babe, and opening their treasures, they presented to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So we ask the question, well, what can I give as a gift to the Son of God when he has all the infinite riches of heaven? And may I suggest, give him your worship. What a great gift that is. Give him yourself anew. Place yourself at the altar as a living sacrifice. Paul wrote these words. He got done talking about Jesus and the salvation he brings. And Paul couldn't describe it anymore. It blew his mind. So he just said this. He said, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Exclamation mark. Indescribable. Paul said, I can't, my little mind can't wrap itself around God's plan of salvation through a human baby, though still be God. He says, it blows my mind. Incomprehensible. So, if your heart isn't overwhelmed by worship at Christmas, then with gratitude and thanksgiving, then somehow you're missing the whole point of Christmas. So how else can we respond by simply giving him his worship? So in a sense, if someone comes and doesn't know anything about Christmas, you can show him all the trappings and the wrappings that go on surrounding it, this holiday, but you can tell them, but that's not Christmas. You point to a picture of the baby in the manger and you simply say, that's God. That's God. We don't understand it. But that's God. Not born by a human father. Not conceived by a human father. But miraculously conceived. And even his bloodline isn't the same as his mother's. You see, the blood, your blood type comes from the mother. Did you know that? You know, if you're A, B, A, whatever, you know. It comes from it comes from your father. Let's reverse that. It comes from your father. Jesus didn't have any blood type of a human father because he didn't have a human father. That's why. Miraculous. I don't know about you, but even as a pastor, sometimes this season gets marred by, you know, emotional strain and anxiety, you know, and do you have enough money to go around for all the Christmas presents? And than any other time of the year. In fact, the stress of the holiday for many people brings a lot of weight of anxiety and sorrow. One of them is because of loneliness. You know, people are lonely at Christmas, and they talk about Christmas cheer, and they don't have anybody to add to cheer with. Add to that the meaningless of all the holiday revelry and the holiday season. It's intolerable for a lot of people. In fact, I did read, and it's true, that more people suffer nervous breakdowns during the Christmas season than at any other time of the year. And it is a fact that Christmas season, the holiday season, the suicide rate is higher than any other time of the year. That's strange, isn't it? It's supposed to be understanding peace and all this love, and yet we don't have it. I read that also that it's many people say Christmas time is a time of bedlam. Ironic that the word bedlam itself is a corruption of the word Bethlehem. Got a picture here of Bethlehem. In the 1500s, there was a London monastery in London, a monastery for monks. It was called St. Mary, nuns, I guess it is, St. Mary of Bethlehem. It served as a monastery, but then it was sold and it became a hospital, and then from a hospital, it became an insane asylum. And it was run by the city. This is during the 1600s, 1700s, all right, 1700s, not much knowledge there about modern-day mental illness. But for a small admission price, people could actually go there and pay a price and heckle the inmates, the patients. And it was, astonishingly enough, I can't believe it, one of the main tourist attractions in London at that time. St. Mary of Bethlehem was shortened then just to Bethlehem because it was such a well-known place, a popular tourist attraction. And so people would say, "Have you been to Bethlehem? Have you been to Bethlehem?" You know, with the English accent, the Cockney accent, you know. But then it became so popular and it became very generic, and so they shortened it from Bethlehem to Bedlam. Have you been to Bedlam? If you take a trip out to Bedlam and pay your price and see the patients there, you know. And it referred simply to the noise and the confusion that symbolized the insane asylum there. And so Bethlehem and Bedlam are historically and semantically related and linked together. And isn't that weird that we would link Bethlehem, a place of serenity, to also a word bedlam, which comes from it? Now, thankfully enough today, in our church here at Fairhaven, surrounded by people who understand salvation and hear it with a table of the Lord behind us, we're not going to experience bedlam. We're going to experience, as the Advent candle appropriately represents to us today, peace. You see, Bethlehem, even though to the world it might represent bedlam, which increases suicide rates and depression and anxiety, but for people who know what Christmas is about, that the babe in the manger and all the trappings and all the, you know, those carols and everything are good, they might be wholesome, but it's not Christmas. Christmas is about simply God becoming a human being that we can't understand, can't wrap our minds around, but it happened. And He did it for one purpose, for only one purpose, to die for you and I. Simple as that. That's Christmas. The babe, a little baby, God born to die. Christmas in a nutshell. To bring peace. Now, there's a song that sums it up well. I like this song. I like the lady who wrote this song. It's called simply, "He's Here." great lyrics. A lady named Francesca Battistelli, you might know her, popular singer on the Christian pop charts. Beautiful. I love her lyrics. I love her songs because her lyrics are so powerful and they're so biblical also. She doesn't sing flowery stuff about, ooh, it makes me feel so warm and fuzzy. She doesn't sing about that. She just sings about stuff that is right to life, down in the trenches. Picture Mary holding baby Jesus and trying to comprehend, who is this I'm holding? And that's what the song is about. Okay, so I'm going to close with that. Listen to it and enjoy it. It's called He's Here by Francesca Battistelli. Or You're Here, not He's Here. I could go both ways in, I guess. But You're Here. Ah, good song, good song. Love those lyrics. Well, that's what it's all about in a nutshell. And I hope that as you go through this Christmas holiday season and hear other Christmas messages by good pastors and preachers who are going to be sharing with you, in one word, what should it cause us to do? Worship, man alive. I just thank the Lord every day. I can't understand the babe in the manger being God. Can't wrap my mind around that, but I am so thankful for it. So let's pray together as we close. God, you're an amazing God for the plan that you set in motion to bring salvation to us. Thank you, Jesus, for giving up all that you had in glory and in heaven and coming down to us, but not just becoming one of us, but to do it so that you might go to a cross and die for our sins as the only way, the only way. If there was another way, Jesus, I know that the Father would have planned it, but this was the only way for us to find redemption, for us to find the path back to the Father to be made right. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for enlightening our minds and helping us to understand Christmas. Bless the Fairhaven at this time of the year, and I just pray that you'll work in everyone's life this morning. Thank you for your great love. Dismiss us in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, it's been good to be with you folks this morning. Do I turn it over to somebody? Or